So to me, these products are put out there to lure unsuspecting folks into thinking, you know, they've hit the jackpot.
Never mind the regulatory, the 6102 style attacks, the fact that BlackRock and the government and whoever do want your Bitcoin and could manipulate a relatively small $2 trillion market.
All the news stations and the media, they said, you know, they were targeting, you know, this operation. And now Lindsey Graham is coming out and saying, yeah, we're not done, by the way.
Like, how many more centuries have to go by and how many more wars have to be made and how many millions of people have to die, whether it's physically, economically, whatever the case may be, because of the decisions of a bunch of crazy people?
Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As always, I have Tony with me and a special guest, Adam Semeca, is back. Gents, we are going to kick this off by talking about one of the hottest topics in Bitcoin right now, and that is Bitcoin-backed loans. Adam, we have, I think Tony put out a video on this. I've talked about this oftentimes. I tweet about it. Why don't you set the stage? What's your opinion on Bitcoin-backed loans? Provide any nuance that you need to. And then we've got some news that hit that sort of ties into this as well.
Sure. Yeah. My general thoughts and high-level view of Bitcoin-backed loans is, I'll just start with my conclusion, and that is right now, it seems that Bitcoin-backed loans are not generally worth the risk slash reward. And even if you factor in, you know, the interest and everything regarding how the loan is set up, for most people, I think Bitcoin-backed loans are not a great solution. I think they will get better over time. And my main factor to that is that they are fully collateralized. So they're what's considered a secured line of credit, where there's no risk to the lender, right? So you can get liquidated at any time, and the lender takes on essentially zero risk, and they're still charging. I mean, the prime rates for that are somewhere around like the 11-12% for a modest loan. So my thoughts there are, yes, you can use them if you really know what you're doing. If you don't have a clue what you're doing, I say stay away from them. So that's my high-level view. We can get more technical, but that's where I wanted to start it.
Yeah, I think that's sort of a prudent point. I think that most people, like what I say is that most people are very bad at risk management, and they think, oh, well, what if there's an 80% drawdown, and what's my interest rate? And like that's kind of where they're thinking in assessment of what they're doing ends, and there's really a lot more to it than that. Tony, I'll maybe provide a little more nuance to my thought. Tony, why don't you give your take? And I know this is one that you like to rail on.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this borrowing against Bitcoin business. I made a video on this stating my opinion, but you know, just to sum it up, most people should stay, you know, far away from all of this. These products are gimmicks, tricks, traps, call them whatever you want, in order to separate you from your Bitcoin. Because most people don't read the terms and conditions. Most people have zero risk management skills. And most people think there's a thing as free money. It doesn't exist. So to me, these products are put out there to lure unsuspecting folks into thinking, you know, they've hit the jackpot, and then get surprised one day with something that comes out of nowhere and they find themselves completely liquidated. It incentivizes the same bad habits of the fiat world. The fiat thinking, it's rinse and repeat. Don't do it. If you can't afford something, don't buy it. Yes, I know it sucks, but the right thing to do is to wait until you can afford it and then go for it. If you're going to borrow against your Bitcoin, first of all, make sure you have a ton of Bitcoin, because if you have a hypothetically like one Bitcoin and you go ahead and put all of that thinking, you know, you want to take whatever it is, a $50,000 loan against it. Well, now, you know what? Your loan, your Bitcoin is hanging by a thread, because one, the terms and conditions can change on a whim. You can't control this. They tell you they'll never change. That's not true. When things change, they will change, you know, forcibly. We've seen this happen many times. If the market drops, by, you know, a big enough percentage and you don't have enough collateral, like more Bitcoin, to back up your original, you're done. Keep in mind, these drops are not always free market drops. There are market players that can concoct these drops. Again, you don't control these rules. And so that's a risk that a lot of people don't even consider. I've seen these games played. They're still being played. And so if you don't want to be caught in the whirlwind of such, you know, disastrous decisions, stay away from this. When you can afford it, buy it. If you can't afford it, sit tight until you can.
Yeah, Tony, I think the one thing you didn't bring up that I was waiting for, because this is where you and I philosophically, I think, agree, is, there's a case to be made that this promotes what we actually talked about, the three of us talked about on our banter last week, was the medium of exchange use case. And if it's, I understand that most people, if you want to buy a house, if you want to put in a swimming pool, if you want to, you need to pay in fiat. So I understand that. But do these loans enable some degree of complacency to where we just, it's like, well, I can always get fiat because I have Bitcoin. And so I'll continue to just pay in fiat and we perpetuate that system unnecessarily. I think that's a more philosophical case that people is valid. But I think practically, though, there are all of these risks. The market it's only a $2 trillion asset in a giant sea of global assets. And so market manipulation is a real threat. We didn't even talk about the custody risks. Like, well, who has it? It's not you anymore, probably. I mean, if you're posting it as collateral, they're not likely to just let you continue to hold it. And, never mind the regulatory, the 6102 style attacks, the fact that BlackRock and the government and whoever do want your Bitcoin and could manipulate a relatively small $2 trillion market. I think those are all risks that people, Tony, who have gone through what you've gone through with Lebanon, you recognize those as real potential risks. And I think probably most people who would be taking on these loans, you know, Western US-based folks, don't account for those as actual viable risks to their stack.
And that's the problem, is because you think that will never happen. I am telling you they will happen, because things are going to get bad enough where they have no choice but to happen. So if you're going to stick by that delusion that somehow you're immune to this, well, then play these retarded games. And then, you know, when it blows up in your face, then just look in the mirror and assume full responsibility. It's that fiat mindset. You have to kill it. These products are trying to force Bitcoin into a broken system. It doesn't work that way. It's not created for that purpose. The two worlds cannot coexist. You might argue it's a transition. It's not. If you keep the bad habits, your thought process, how you, you know, think about money and debt and all that, and nothing changes in that sense, then you've moved nowhere. You're still stuck in the same rut, the same, you know, broken mindset that you were in the fiat world. You cannot, it cannot work. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Pick a side, evolve your habits, learn the good ones, stand on the right side of history, and given enough time, you know, truth always prospers. So don't be part of the crowd that thinks they're smarter than the system, and then you know stand in line with them crying once things don't go the way you want. So I've lived it, you know, I keep sharing my story. I know it may sound like a broken record at some point, but I don't care. The message has to be said until enough people finally clue in, hopefully before they live through what I experienced. So I agree with you. Bitcoin needs to be used as money. The bad habits need to be broken. All of these products, at the end of the day, are designed to separate you from your Bitcoin. Whether it's marketed as such or not, that is the end game here.
I want to add a couple things to that. You made some really good points, Tony. The first is the fact that there are really two kind of incompatible systems. So you have the fiat-based inflationary monetary system. And in my mind, and this isn't financial advice, but if I was to get a loan, I think it's a lot safer to get a loan in that system. And, you know, just get a normal, like, we'll take, for example, like a regular mortgage, right? You have essentially just maybe a small amount of, you know, fiat dollars down, but the majority of the risk is being taken by the lender. The other system, obviously, is this debit-based, not credit-based, but debit-based system, which is Bitcoin. And loans just don't really work at nearly the same way as they do in the credit-based system. And so what you see over time, and you can do your own research. Like Tony has been through this. Michael's been through this. I've been through this. You know, we've seen this play out in previous cycles. Just look at the offerings of people that have offered Bitcoin-backed loans, whether it's companies or even, you know, these DeFi solutions. Almost all of them have blown up. In fact, the only I can only name maybe one that's still around, and that's Ledin. But I'll name some that I know that have failed. We'll start with Unchained Capital is a very popular one. They didn't necessarily blow up, but they stopped offering their Bitcoin-backed loans to retail. They were kind of hush-hush about why they did that. You know, I have my own guesses, but they never came out and said exactly why. And it's my assumption is just due to the risk profile. It just doesn't make sense. But you look at some other platforms, I think, so BlockFi was doing these loans. They blew up. I don't know if Celsius was doing these loans or not. I think they were. So BlockFi, Celsius, 4chain was one of the DeFi solutions. They blew up. But the problem is like Tony mentioned, these are two incompatible systems. And that's really the root of why these things fail, is because people are trying to apply the fiat mindset of, you know, the credit-based loan structure and applying it to a money supply that's deflationary, or some would say disinflationary. The other thing is that Tony brought up was the incentives. And so this one's huge too, because no matter what platform you're using, no matter how benign or altruistic you think these people might be, there is always a consistent and persistent incentive for these people to liquidate you, right? Separate you from your Bitcoin. That's how Tony worded it. And so as a platform provider for these loans, you're able to see the data for exactly what you need to do as a market maker to liquidate your users, right? And I'm not saying that this is what people are setting out to do. You know, I know Strike's starting to offer these Bitcoin-backed loans, and there's probably, you know, others getting into this as well. And I think this is going to be a huge market. We're going to see this grow. But like I said, it's important to understand that there's the incentive. You can make a lot more money by simply just, you know, screwing over your customers and taking their Bitcoin as a market maker. So to put that into more simple terms, what you can do as a platform provider is you can essentially create a dashboard that says, hey, I can move, you know, this amount of Bitcoin, whether you're selling or buying, as long as you have enough, you're sitting on enough capital, as long as you move the market enough in a short enough time frame, you know exactly how much Bitcoin you need to buy or sell. In this case, if you're liquidating a Bitcoin loan, it would be how much Bitcoin you would need to sell. You can rebuy it back later. But say, you know, you're sitting on, you know, 1,000 Bitcoins, you could sell those on the spot, on the market, you know, on the spot exchange, and drive the price down in a flash crash and liquidate your customers. Now, some platforms do offer some type of, buffer there for the time. But, you know, there are many cases in which, especially like the decentralized options, those flash crashes can liquidate you right away. And so the other thing that I was kind of alluding to is just look at the people that have been here for a few cycles. Look at the people that have maybe even done these Bitcoin-backed loans. I can say I know people who have used these, and I don't know anyone personally who's used a Bitcoin-backed loan and hasn't gotten liquidated. I'm not saying that that's common, but I am saying everybody that I know that I followed up with on how it turned out, they all got liquidated. So take that for what it's worth.
And then the one thing I add, because I want to move on. So Adam, I'm not sure how familiar you are with CJ Constantinos and the People's Reserve. So my understanding, they're going to launch with a lot of products. My understanding of their mortgage product is that you're not going to get liquidated. Like, there's not going to be a margin call, but your interest rate is affected by what you're paying each month is affected by the fiat denominated value of your Bitcoin and what you have. And so there's even though you may not quote unquote lose your Bitcoin, you might still end up losing your Bitcoin because you have to sell in order to cover. Like if you weren't expecting a 15% interest rate or something, you know, astronomical, and you can't cover a 15% interest rate 1 month or for a couple months or something because Bitcoin's dipped, you might still lose your Bitcoin, not because they've taken it from you, but because you had to sell, liquidate, or, you know, some of your other Bitcoin that you didn't post as collateral in order to cover, you know, this payment that you weren't expecting to be so incredibly high. So there are always risks with these things. There's always data breach risk. There are so many factors that I think people need to consider. If you've got a ton of Bitcoin, if you have incredibly safe and high income, and you're doing this very conservatively, and you understand all of these risks, knock yourself out, I guess. I think it's something that 99% of people should run away from. That's kind of where I tend to fall on it. So speaking of these, loan sort of products. So people are very excited this week. The FHFA, which is an independent federal agency, has ordered that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac prepare their businesses to count cryptocurrency as an asset for a mortgage. So Adam, it sounded to me like before we started recording, and Breadman said only applies to assets held on an exchange, not in cold storage. And if you look into this document, that's my interpretation of what's being said here. I think you felt like maybe you had like a counter argument or that your take here is a little bit unique. So why don't you fill us in, and then Tony and I can rip on you.
Yeah. So as I understand it, and I'm not merely anywhere near an expert on this subject, but the language in there, I think, is like the requirement, like a kind of almost like the bare minimum of what you have to do from the guidance from, I apologize, whatever department that FHFA or something like that. Is that, yeah. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Is that,
it's a federal housing finance agency, I believe.
Okay. Thank you. So essentially what that means is if you are, you know, in the business of if you're in this business, you're kind of required to do this now. So that's like the requirement. If somebody has, you know, the proof of their own proof of the attestation for their assets on a regulated U.S. exchange, then you have to acknowledge this. But you don't, like, I'll give you an example, and this is what you were alluding to of what I alluded to earlier, and that is that I've already done this, believe it or not. 5 years ago, I refinanced my home. And part of that process is attestation of assets. I showed my lender my self-custodial Bitcoin. I didn't even have to sign a transaction. But as I understand it, like, lenders can essentially recognize whatever assets they want. It's up to them and how they want to weigh that risk. So I have already used Bitcoin as an attestation of assets for my own mortgage. The mortgage that I currently pay on right now was, you know, essentially, you know, backed with the Bitcoin that I hold in self-custody. I didn't have to send it to an exchange. I didn't have to even sign a transaction. Like I said, I just showed my lender my balance, and he was like, okay, that's cool, check. So, and that was my point, is that I've already done this. It's been happening.
Okay. So now it looks like it's more of a requirement. But it sounds to me like they want verification that the asset sits on a centralized regulated exchange of some kind. Tony, I want to hear your thoughts. Here's my take is, first of all, this feels very broad. So what are you going to do? Say I've got $1 million worth of Fartcoin, or I've got $1 million worth of XRP, and you need to acknowledge that? Like, all digital assets are not created equal, right? Like, Bitcoin is the obvious and only useful, you know, form of asset attestation. And so to me, that's a big red flag. So these lenders are going to be required to take on potentially risk because they have to acknowledge that you've got XRP. And so, you know, I guess it's $1 million worth, you know, like that means something. That's very different than having $1 million worth of Bitcoin. I think for me, the biggest thing is that it needs to sit on a centralized exchange. And so to me, I kind of wonder if that overwrites the, like what you described is moving forward. Maybe they still can look at self-custodial Bitcoin, but maybe not any longer. It needs, in order for it to meet these requirements, it needs to sit on an exchange. So I don't know how this plays out. I think Bitcoin should qualify as one of your assets. I don't know why it wouldn't. It's the best performing asset of the last, 16 years. It's, we've got the ETFs, we've got governments talking about strategic reserves. I mean, it's proven itself. It's a $2 trillion liquid market now. I don't know, Tony, do you have any thoughts on what this means for people?
Yeah, of course. In its current form, it's complete and utter garbage, and you should stay away from it as far as possible. Again, this falls into what we were discussing earlier. All of this nonsense are attempts to separate you from your coins. What they are trying to do is force Bitcoin into their world. I made a tweet about this not that long ago. If I were a corrupt government that wanted to attack Bitcoin, how would I do it? Would I full out attack it? Of course not. I would embrace it and sell my version of it. The ETFs, the shitcoin Bitcoin treasuries, the loans, all of that garbage. Why? Because it keeps you dependent on me in my world, right? That's not Bitcoin. So too many people are simping for the same bad habits that Bitcoin was created to replace. You have to stop giving up your freedom for meaningless convenience. That's all this is. If you put your Bitcoin on an exchange to qualify for a mortgage, what have you done? Absolutely nothing. Any second now, any change of somebody scribbles a few new lines on a piece of paper, changes the rules, boom, there goes your Bitcoin. No different than leaving money on a bank. People are celebrating, oh my gosh, I can buy a house now with my Bitcoin. That's what they want you to see. What they don't want you to see is like you're foolishly giving up your Bitcoin to someone who's going to find a way at some point to steal it away from you. Don't fall for these games, man. Stop. It's too many people, for some miraculous, unexplainable reason, cannot see the writing on the wall. And I think it's because too many people in financially privileged positions and countries have not experienced total loss. Sadly, you guys have to have a taste of this to understand why someone who has walked in these shoes has zero tolerance for this and can see the signs a million miles away. It's not about being toxic. It's about trying to bitch slap you into waking up and paying attention to the things you're supposed to be looking at. So all of these games, stay away from them. If it's not in your custody, it's not yours. It's that simple. It's not complicated. It doesn't matter how colorful they make it. Bitcoin is not created to fit into their world. They have to bend the knee and fit into Bitcoin's new rules. That's what Bitcoin was created for. If you don't let that happen, then you've done absolutely nothing useful for humanity. That is the mindset. The mindset has to change. We're not here to wait for their permission or their blessing. Bitcoin doesn't give a damn about them. It was created to format, replace them entirely. What is so difficult about that to understand? Is it fear? If you are going to live in fear for the rest of your life, then you have no life, right? So for me, all of these things that come out that try to tie Bitcoin into the TradFi world, they're complete garbage. And I will always come out and say they are garbage. You need to live on a Bitcoin standard, meaning everything is Bitcoin to Bitcoin natively, outside the system. That is the only way you win. And there are jurisdictions, by the way, around the world where you can buy a home Bitcoin to Bitcoin without going through any of this nonsense. Put your Bitcoin on a regulated U.S. exchange. What the hell's wrong with you, man? Start thinking for a change.
So, Tony, I completely agree, especially with that last point, is that if you're moving your Bitcoin to exchange and presumably keeping it there for the duration of your mortgage, then you're taking on lots of risk for a long time and they want your Bitcoin. Just to be clear, this is not Bitcoin being used as collateral. In this situation, that your home would be used as collateral. And so if you can't pay your mortgage, you lose your home, but you keep your Bitcoin, assuming it's still safe at the exchange. That's a big, big if. Don't do that, everyone. But so that was kind of my point. Like, I think that your Bitcoin is the best asset you have. And so if they're trying to determine if you qualify for a mortgage based on, you know, your income, your net worth, yeah, your Bitcoin should count the same way your stock portfolio or, you know, whatever other assets you have count. But I completely agree with you, Tony. That's sort of like two distinct matters here. Adam, do you have something you want to add to that?
Yeah, I said or gold. Like, I think that there are probably plenty of lenders out there that would, you know, look at gold the same way they would or could or even should look at Bitcoin. You know, I think, Tony, you made a good point. I think a lot of people need the taste of getting rugged. The rugs will continue until self-custody. Self-custody improve. So if you if you haven't gotten rugged yet, it means you probably don't quite understand that.
Yes,
that's what it took for me to understand it. I had to get rugged. I don't know about you guys, but I know, Tony, you've gotten rugged, you know, by your own government.
We'll end this. We're taking a lot of time to get through these first two topics, but I'll end this by saying, anyone listening, pay attention for Tony's BTC Prague speech. It should be out here in the next week or so. I think you will be dispelled of any trust that you have in government or any institution. And what we're talking about here will all make a lot more sense. Alrighty, let's talk. So this guy, Sly R. Goomba, said, you guys understand the reasoning behind the attack, and this is the U.S. attack on Iran, was because we need to print more dollars, right? And Larry Lepard responded 100%. And then, Adam, you brought this to my attention. You said, the art of the deal. It's Trump, can I have some money? Congress, no. Bombs dropping, how about now? Congress, okay. So we don't need to get into the whole, you know, all the politics of Israel and Iran. But, Adam, Tony, I'm sorry, I keep letting Adam go first, but I think some of these comments maybe are good for you to respond to then. Adam, explain the meme and what you think is happening with the state of the world, especially you're ex-military, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you probably have some thoughts.
Yeah, not necessarily from my military experience, but just, you know, from a historical perspective. Anybody that's paid any amount of attention to history for any amount of time, whether it's, you know, ancient history, modern history, doesn't matter, even present day. If you pay any amount of attention at all, as long as you're not asleep, you can see, you know, what happens is, you know, these, we can say wars, they typically coincide with the need, or at least the outcome of increasing the monetary supply. So whether it's the wars that come first, or it's the need of printing more money that comes first, you know, these major events, you know, world wars, you know, any conflict that the United States has been in, or pretty much any country that's come before, there's a direct correlation to the money, right? And that's why a lot of people will point to Bitcoin and say, you know, Bitcoin, you know, may not completely remove all wars forever, but it makes wars a lot more expensive. And, you know, there's an argument to be made that, you know, the wars themselves are the mechanism in which the money printing is able to be fulfilled. You know, there's certainly a large number of people that I follow and know about that present that side of the argument. I'm not going to take a side on this. I don't think it's necessary, but the other side of the argument is, you know, the wars happen in spite of, you know, that monetary constraint. So, you know, obviously as in an inflationary currency system where somebody has their hand on the big red button of the money printer, you know, as things get tighter and tighter and tighter, you know, your only option, the only solution out is to hit that button and print the money. And, you know, when we have a legally constitutionally imposed debt ceiling that Congress needs to vote on in order to expand, you know, it's the easy, in my, this is opinion, the easy solution to get Congress to approve something like that and to get the American voters or wherever you are, whatever government you're a part of, to get buy-in from your populace. If you're in a war, people, you know, see that as something that's dire. It's immediate. It's an emergency situation, and people throw their hands up and forget everything else they said before. and all of a sudden money starts flowing, right? So it's just, it is an interesting thing to think about in the concept of, you know, how, you know, these governments always get into a situation where they need more money and things get to a certain point where there's really no other way out. And that's when these wars and conflicts happen. So whether it's intentional or just a byproduct of the constraints on the current economic situation, that's for you to decide. But it is definitely an interesting topic. And I think that's kind of hopefully what I was trying to get across with that meme.
Yeah. If there's any doubt in anyone's mind who is listening that fiat is evil and breeds evil, I think the fact that there are people dying because effectively we need more monetary units in the system, there's your case for it. Tony, you've been much closer to the action. I think I saw this morning or last night that I think southern Lebanon is now being bombed. I mean, it's just like there's just something new. I can't even keep track of what the hell's going on. But
yeah, man, not much more to add to what you guys said, except for me, war has always been a business plan. It doesn't happen by fluke or accident. In fact, there's an interesting character that I came across recently that's been sort of going viral on the internet. It's a Professor Jang. I don't know if you guys heard of him, but if you haven't, I invite you to look him up. Apparently, he predicted this U.S.-Iran-Israel conflict about a year and a bit ago, and it played out exactly as he said it would. I haven't finished listening to all of his clips, but, you know, basically from what I've summed up is that this war was planned, and it's something that all three parties actually want, because they all gain something from it. Now, exactly what those specifics are, I don't know. I haven't finished reading all the content. But what I did understand, according to him, is that the reason why they're all for it is because they each believe they are the chosen ones. Like, it comes down to some religious prophecy that each one of them believes that they've been chosen by God in order to do this for a specific reason. And they genuinely believe nothing will get in their way in order to achieve the result that they're looking for. Now, if this is true, this is a very dangerous position that we're in, because you are literally, you know, in the hands of psychopaths. And how long are we going to live in a world where things are managed by such people? Like, how many more centuries have to go by, and how many more wars have to be made, and how many millions of people have to die, whether it's physically, economically, whatever the case may be, because of the decisions of a bunch of crazy people? Like, how long do we as human beings have to tolerate this? I would argue up to 2008, we had no choice, because one, we were completely oblivious, again, due to a system that they built to keep us oblivious. But every once in a while, there comes an idea that blows everything up. And that idea came about in 2008. The beacon of truth, Bitcoin, that rabbit hole that opened Pandora's box and unleashed a million spotlights on a million things that we weren't aware of previously. Now that we have an option, the world has an option to exit this insanity. Why is it so difficult for so many people to wrap their brains around the fact that there is a solution? That the answer isn't left or right. It's looking up, because that's where the problem is, and that is what needs to be removed. And the way you do this peacefully is by removing the power of money, the incentives that's fueling all of this madness. So,
absolutely. What do you got there, Adam?
I have a source, by the way. So this is from the Times of Israel. This was posted by disclose.tv, the X account. It says, just in, U.S. and Israeli militaries wargamed tonight's Iran strike under Biden. So this wasn't, you know, something that just came up overnight. You know, as kind of, Tony, you alluded to, this is something that's been planned for a long time. Which that's not how it was presented to the public, right?
It's never presented the way it is. It's presented the way they want you to think it is.
Yeah, and the other thing that I posted from the same channel, by the way, Lindsey Graham, I don't know where the 900 pounds of highly enriched uranium exists, but it wasn't part of the target set, right? So they told us that, you know, that all the news stations and the media, they said, you know, they were targeting, you know, this operation. And now Lindsey Graham is coming out and saying, yeah, we're not done, by the way.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham's never met a war that he doesn't love. Guy is, yeah. Anyway, I think we need to probably wrap up there, Tony. I think you tied it off nicely. And if I say anything else about this subject, like, we will never have a YouTube channel ever again. So, Adam, thanks so much for joining, man. It was last minute, so everyone listening, Adam came through for us. We had a cancellation, which just, it happens from time to time. Why don't you give people a handoff where they can find you, and hope we can do this again too.
Yeah, on X, I'm at Adam Semeca. And if you're into Bitcoin payments, at Mana Bitcoin, it's a Bitcoin layer 2 wallet for merchants and users to send and receive Bitcoin self-custodially. Very easily. So that's where I spend most of my time.
Very cool. Yeah, it's a cool product. Tony and I are actually in the process of testing it out and giving our thoughts. So love what you're working on, man. Appreciate it. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. Hear a little bit more about the Bitcoin way. We'd love to chat with you. Really appreciate everyone joining. Adam, great seeing you. Tony, as always, it's a pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.